Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today, we have a force of nature on the show, the truly remarkable Jess Hills, amazing personal trainer with a BA in human kinetics, certified in sports and health nutrition, and an unshakable belief that fitness is for everyone, no matter what challenges each individual may face, and that though it is to be taken seriously, it should also be great fun. And boy, does she walk the talk. Jess, welcome.
Hello.
Lovely to see you here.
Well, thank you for inviting me on. I was looking forward to this. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking fit as always. Can I ask you to just start by sharing a little bit about, you know, who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
For sure. I'm Jess, and I have a fitness business. I have a studio at the beach, and I like to help people get into shape and meet their fitness goals.
Right. Now, I love situating my guests because I love the international audience. You're originally from where?
I'm from Canada. I'm a 60-year-old Canadian, and right. I'm living here in the Netherlands now for about 22 years, so a good length of time. And I started Fitness Matters in about 2008.
Right.
And so I have a studio, a very nice studio on the top of my house.
Oh, so fantastic. Yeah. Yes, I need to get myself out there and work on my bingo wings more than anything else. But okay, and I mean, sports have always been part of your life, right? If I remember well, your first taste of Holland was via a football match.
Yeah, soccer, football, as they call it here. I was invited on the Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada team to come and play. And I did. I really enjoyed. Of course, Holland came first. They're very good. That's how I first got here. And I met someone, stayed, and then I've got a very good job teaching at the time. And then I made a life choice to get back to my study and degree back into fitness. And that's
right. What a lovely story. I mean, that in itself is inspiring enough. You know, you followed your heart, you followed your passion, you made big changes. I mean, moving from Canada to Holland is a big thing. And as you say, so now you have this fitness studio that you run in The Hague. And basically, so we're talking about fitness here, right? And now I can already hear at least half of you groaning like, oh, God, no, we're not talking about fitness here. Jess, for those of you who can't see her, is 60. She looks 40 if a day and is absolute walking proof that whatever challenges there is a fitness training for you. So this is the stuff that you don't want to hear when you're hiding behind your 8 million excuses of why you're not doing anything towards your fitness. Maybe we should start, Jess, with, you know, what does fitness mean to you and why do you believe that fitness is so important, in particular at 50 plus?
Well, personally, it's everything to me. And it has been since I've been a child. It's been everything from a stress to release from the things that happened in my childhood to something I grew to love. Right. But there are a lot of people out there, and I realize I tried to help them, who had had very bad experiences with fitness, whether it be in gym with the teacher or they never liked it, you know, but they know they need it. So I like to help these people to show them the way that exercise can be fun again. And if you incorporate a lot of variety, which is what I try to do, is it doesn't have to be boring and you can achieve your goals. And like I was saying, no matter what the challenge is, I have trained some people who didn't have use of a hand, you know, people through injuries, that kind of thing, that there are ways around these kinds of challenges that you can always train.
Right. Yeah. So why is it important to us? What does fitness do to you?
Oh, it's amazing. Specifically, I'm going to talk about strength training because I think that's one of the best things you can do. Of course, there's cardiovascular fitness for your heart. That's kind of one area of fitness, and that's very important, as well as flexibility. But weight training is something that just really helps your mind and your body.
Right. Now, maybe we need to put some parameters here. So I'm hearing you say three things. One is weight training. One is flexibility. And the third is, what did you say? Cardiovascular.
Yeah. It kind of
Define that maybe. I like the fact that this is really very low threshold. So by cardiovascular, you mean anything where you get your heart beat up, right? So that can be running, dancing.
You're within your target heart rate zone at the correct intensity.
Right.
And you're training your heart properly. Yes.
Right. And flexibility is all the stuff like, you know, well, stretches and yoga and Pilates and all of that. So that's not so much the strength of the muscle. It's the flexibility of the muscle.
Which is something you still have to work on, especially as we get older. There's a number of things happening to the body that is diminishing, right? So in our tendons, that kind of thing, you know, the tendons connect the muscle to the bones. They actually have less collagen as we age. They have less water. So there's all these things happening to the body because of hormones, right? We're getting diminished hormones. And so our body naturally is aging. But what I believe and what I try to do is I think you can postpone that through exercise, also diet, nutrition, sleep quality, less stress, all these kinds of things. It's the whole package.
Right.
But at the same time, weight training specifically regulates your metabolism. It controls your fat levels and it builds power, which is going to allow people to get less injuries. Okay, because it's when we go reach for something really fast, and because our tendons are less flexible and we have less muscle over the years, because that also is diminishing,
yeah,
that we need the strength training as we age, so we're less frail. And that's right. What I try to do. You would first, you know, people might have what's called osteopenia, which is basically before you get osteoporosis, but anyone I suggest over 40, take a DEXA scan. This is something you can go to your doctor and you check this. And it's just a 15-minute test. And then you can see if you have osteoporosis. Or
what was it called? A
DEXA scan.
D-E-X-A,
DEXA scan. So I had a client who was having back pain and it didn't go away.
Right.
And I said, well, listen, I'm a bit suspicious because, you know, she was tinier woman. She was Caucasian. She was, well, just being a woman as well can make it, you know. So I sent her to have a test and she did have it. And it doesn't mean you can't still weight train. Mm. It just means depending on where it is in your body, it's important how you train. For instance, you, in your spine, you don't want to do things over your head with compression, or you have to be very careful with that. So it's knowing how to train around these challenges, which is really important.
Right. Because so, I mean, I'm hearing you say lots of stuff there because, so, I mean, we, you know, our bodies are aging. That's a fact, right? However, we need our bodies and we know all these. So articulation problems, back problems, you know, arthritis, all these things that we do develop. The thing is, so basically through training and in particular weight training, we can keep a level of, let's say, elasticity and power in the muscles longer, right? I mean, I can imagine lots of people get, you know, back issues as they age. The stronger your muscles are, the longer you can probably postpone that. Now, let's define weightlifting first, because I can also see them all going like, what, Julie, are you for real? You know, you want me like a bodybuilder in the gym, you know, drugging all these weights around? But it is that, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be 60 kilos, but it is... Wait.
Well, you have to think from age 25, you lose about 2 to 5% of muscle every decade. So it can be quite a bit over the years. And from 50 to 60, that amount can actually double. So you really want to work on your strength training to keep up your strength. That's very, very important. Okay.
But so does that involve going to the gym, or is that the sort of thing where you can buy small dumbbells and have a routine at home? And are there any particular areas of our body that we need to train more?
Well, I think women, it's mostly their upper body strength that tends to diminish over the years. So, you know, I was sitting with a friend across the table and she doesn't like exercise, right? So you see this, you know, look on her face. Yes. It's like, what do I have to do? My doctor says I'm losing strength and I have to strength train, but she hates it, right? So if you hate it, you know, you have to be very careful what you say to someone, because you don't want them traumatized by saying, oh, you have to, you know, 5 times a week. That's not true. If you're doing weight training 2 to 3 times a week at the right intensity, that's probably pretty good. You know, but it's like, it's result based. Some people say, and they come to me, can I come once a week? Sure. You can come once a week and that's the result you're going to get once a week.
Exactly.
Right.
The more you do it without becoming a total fanatic.
It's a good thing, but it will be a slower result, right? It takes more time. As opposed if you came to 2-3 times a week or you came once to me for the education. How do I do this? You know, a lot of people don't know how.
Yes, I mean, that sounds also like a smart move to make, right? In particular for women who have maybe not been doing this very often. It's not the idea that they go out and buy themselves 10 kilo weights and start throwing them around in their sitting room, because there's a chance that they're going to, you know, hurt themselves more than anything else. So you do need... You do need professional advice. It doesn't mean maybe after that you always need to go to a gym or to a trainer.
Exactly, Julie. That's what I say to people. A lot of people say they cannot afford a personal trainer. And I say to you, afford them for five times, you know, right. Education on how to set up a program, how to lift weights, you know, the right way to train at what intensity. That's very important. And I do with a lot of people, if I come into their house and I set up a little room for them, I say, this is what you need. This is how you do it. And then they can come to me once a week and they can work on their own two times a week if they have the motivation, right?
It's an investment in ourselves, isn't it? I mean, if we want this body to go with us, I mean, nowadays we're living later and later, you know, we mustn't give up on ourselves now. You know, the more fit we are and the more strength we have, the more chances we have of operating normally. But indeed, it's also a question, I think, for those of us who are sporty, to recognize and also accept that things are changing. I found that very hard at first when I realized that I wasn't actually running faster and faster. You know, now that I've accepted it and don't see it as a failure, it all depends what you compare yourself to. It's just about embracing all of who you are, keeping your fitness and your strength, as you say, up to a level which serves you. Right.
And it's also keeping somewhat track of what's going on with your body. I have a lot of people that come to me and they're feeling quite shocked because they would say, you know, years ago I was a gymnast, or years ago I did this and I did that. And then over the years, the body composition is changing. You know, a lot of the muscle is being replaced by fat and the clothes are getting tighter and they're not feeling a good well-being within their body.
Yes.
So one of the best advice you can give is look, even once a month, I don't believe on getting on the scale every day, but once a month, get on the scale, or if better yet, take some measurements, or the mirror is your best guide. Are you starting to gain? Is your body changing? Do you feel it? Then do something about it. Don't wait and wait or ignore it.
Yes, because they only get worse, right?
Yeah, that's when problems will start to rise. There's this scientist, this book I was reading is called Why We Age and Why We Don't Have to by David Sinclair. And nowadays we think of aging as, you know, or death, if I may say, is it something that happens like we have a heart attack or we get cancer, or, you know, we're really looking at aging like that, like what might I get? Where David Sinclair looks at the problem is aging, you know,
right.
We're going into this frailty, we come into these barriers and hurdles that are getting bigger and bigger, but we're coming into it, we're living longer, but the longer years are not good quality because we're not strong enough, right? Yes. So my goal and to help others is to become stronger so you don't lose that independence.
I mean, that's exactly what we want, right? You know, the idea of, okay, it's great that wheelchairs and rollators and all of that exist. It's something that we owe to ourselves, right? And as you were saying, you know, it's not even just about A, aesthetics, as in the saggy parts, B, the level of fitness, but it's also, as you were saying, the mindset as well. I mean, that feeling of satisfaction, of pride, when you've also worked on your body. And for some of us, it's something that we can't do without. I mean, Jess and I were talking about that before the program. You know, she had a splitting headache, and instead of just lying in a dark room, you know, she took herself to the sea, went swimming, etc. And that's the sort of thing that I do too. And I wouldn't even know how to live without it. I think I really need it to balance myself. So it's not something that I push myself through, but that there is also something for everyone. And I want to talk about that, Jess, because I can already hear people, you know, saying, yeah, well, okay, but you know, I have this, I have that. Now, Jess, you're a living proof of somebody who has been through quite a few physical obstacles, and yet look at you. So if you're okay with that, can you share a bit of that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a heart patient, actually, and I don't have a diseased heart. I have a heart that malfunctions. It's something like the electrical system doesn't work. Runs in my family. So I've dealt with living with a pacemaker since I was 45 after having some cardiac arrest, and was quite surprised. Well, yeah, this was happening to me, but I knew at the time what was happening because my mother has a pacemaker and my sister has a pacemaker. Okay, just logical sense. Okay, my turn. unfortunately. Now, that's fine. You come back from that. You have a pacemaker. You should be able to live like everyone else, so they say. I don't quite believe it at that age because I felt I really struggled with energy. But part of that was, you know, for 4 years when I first got my pacemaker, they had the settings wrong, which I wasn't an expert on it. I didn't realize. So I was in a MTB biking group when you go out every Sunday with this group. And the coach came to me and said, Jess, I think we have to put you in a lower group. Well, I was like, no way, right?
Yeah.
He says, yeah, but and he was quite intelligent. He says, you know what? I don't think it's your fitness. I really think it's something with your heart. So I went back to my heart specialist and I said, listen, this is what's happening. Can we take a look at this? And I tell you, Julie, she made a 10-second call and it was fixed for you. She called and said, what are the settings? And it was a new cardiac specialist. And she couldn't look at me in the face even. She looked down and said, I'm sorry, but your heart, like when you exercise, your heart rate goes up.
Right.
You know, so I'm going up hills, everything else. My heart rate could go no higher than 110.
Right.
So usually if you're going up hills or things like that, we do, it can go up to 180, 200. So the feeling in my body is I was carrying about 6 packs of horses. I was pulling them.
Yeah.
So she immediately sent me to the pacemaker control clinic just next door and they changed the settings. Well, I went outside and I was this free.
Now I understand where you get all of this from.
I was free. So, and I've dealt with that being a sort of an amateur athlete. And over the years, I have a great cardio specialist now who has me in. I do tests on the bike. She says my heart is extraordinary, you know, because my VO2 max is very good for my age, but I work at it. So what I'm trying to tell people is that if you work at your fitness, you can be actually a younger age.
Yeah. I mean, you're the living proof of that. I mean, let alone your physical body. I mean, you're the vitality that you exude. I mean, you really do sound like, I mean, to be honest, there are some 30-year-olds who don't have half the amount of energy and fitness that you have.
Well, I'm a little bit like an ever-ready battery. It's like I go in the morning. I do need my rest in the afternoon and then I go again, you know?
Yeah,
I need to recharge. And that was the other thing I wanted to talk about is being connected with nature. That's really important to me as well. So as well as the component is what you put in your body nutritionally, of course, is important, but where you put your body is so important. And that's what I was saying. I'm sitting here with wet hair because, yes, I went, jumped in the ocean because I maybe, you know, the nerves, I feel a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it's okay.
Anyway, I went into the ocean because I had a really bad headache and it's gone. I had ibuprofen, which, you know, can cause stomach ulcers and everything else.
Yep.
People with arthritis, I have arthritis. I deal with it. I dip my body in cold. That works. I don't need medication. So I'm a bit of a naturalist, I guess you would call me, Julie. I just try to do things naturally first. Of course, if I was in extreme pain, I would try medication. Of course, you know, I'm also logical. If you need it, you need it, right?
That's something that I also very much believe. And the more we progress, the more amazed I am at also the natural capacity of the body to self-heal if you put it, as you say, in the right surroundings, if you're doing the right things with it, and if you're putting, as you also said, the right things in it. There's so much that we can do for ourselves, the sports, the being outside.
There is really a lot. And again, getting back to some of these books I've been reading, David Sinclair, I mentioned, there are some more books. But he particularly, I'll give 6 tips because I do want to help your listeners and some ways to prolong your life expectancy, let's say. And one of them is intermittent fasting, which is really good for the body. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go on, you know, chicken broth or anything all day. All it means is take a break. Stop eating after 8 p.m., right? Don't eat until 8 the next morning. A lot of people like to nibble and things at night, but your body really needs a break.
Okay? From 8 at night till 8 in the morning.
Yeah, you need about 12.
That's enough. Because I mean, I could do that easily.
Exactly, right? But some people do find that hard, you know? I work with people who do have challenges in the way, either it's emotional eating.
Yeah, right? No, that, I think that's the thing, especially women, I think we are very prone to that.
We have to feel for these people and we have to help them. So I try to give suggestions and it's one step at a time. Let me help you. Get that habit under your belt for 3 weeks, one step at a time, and then let's move to the next thing.
So how often do you do that, the intermittent fasting?
Well, I try.
Or is it just as a general rule that you don't eat after 8 and not before 8?
Well, okay. On the weekend, you know, I have my special evening where I get my dark chocolate and or my popcorn. You know, everyone has that, and I believe in the treat. Yes. I just don't treat every day. You know, sugar should not be every day. It's not good for us. And that's another one, is to avoid sugar as much as possible. Try not more than 20 grams a day daily if you are having sugar. So that means reading labels, so limiting your sugar. Okay. And another one is, I am a meat eater. Most people think I'm a vegetarian. I don't know, maybe they just take a look at me and say she must be.
They just associate it with looking like you do or being healthy, I suppose, right?
But I do try to cut down on my meat. Okay. Yeah. But I a partner who can't eat lentils, cannot eat beans. So it's very difficult, and cooking can be, you know, a lot of work. Avoiding x-rays. David Sinclair asserts that it's like having an earthquake in your body, really mixes things up. So that's not good. Okay. This is without everyone having to read the book. Okay. I'm just giving tips. And exercising at your correct exercise intensity is important, that you know that. Okay. For some people who have high blood pressure, you want a moderate intensity. Okay. So when you have challenges, you have to think about what is the right intensity for you. Okay.
And that you can only find out with a professional, right? I mean, how do we know ourselves what intensity is right for us?
Yes. Well, the average person knows about, you know, 220 minus your age and certain percentages, that they know that. You can find that out from your local trainer at the gym as well. And they have charts. So if you don't have any big health challenges, you can look at charts and find that out. But if you have certain, you know, problems or health issues, then you should, seek advice for sure. And the other one I was going to mention is just like I was telling you when you were telling me about your foot, is maybe some cold therapy after some extreme. Cold therapy really works for me.
And we were talking about arthritis here, to just fill in the people that I have arthritis in my toes, and I just have to learn to live with it. So certain, you know, classes that I do at the gym, I like all the dancey step, you know, going wiggling around sort of stuff. My foot does throb then in the evening, but I hadn't actually thought of the cold.
You should try it. So sometimes, because, you know, I am a weightlifter and I take things in my hands, and I have just one joint in these hands that really bothers me. So if I immerse it in cold water, I mean, the pain's gone within 5 minutes, and it's an inflammation problem. So, I mean, if you can handle it without drugs, you know, I've been to the hospital where they look at your hands. I broke a bone in my left index finger years ago. And then they sent me to the hospital. It's like, you've got to see about arthritis, because there was no cartilage left in there.
Yeah.
They basically scraped it out when they took the broken bone out and said, oh, you got no cartilage there. I said to her, no, I'm not going to take medication for this, like, you know, I kind of refused.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like, you know, kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger,
and I'm you'll like, be back.
I won't back. I'm not coming back. And so she really, really believed that I would be back because of the pain, and it would just be getting worse, which arthritis can do.
But
6-7 years ago, and I have not been back.
And it's because you know all this stuff, you see, and that's why you need to share it with us, because most of us, I guess, are scared. You know, somebody says, okay, you've got to take this, and we're just relieved that somebody tells us something or other that we can do for ourselves. But I mean, I would much prefer, you know, any of the healthy things. You know, drugs are by definition not natural. We're putting something, you know, chemically made into our bodies. Yes, sometimes we really need it, right?
Yeah, we've all having to take these vaccinations, which I'm not so happy about, but being in the high risk group with the heart, and I also have asthma. We can add more to the list. And still exercising. But I don't feel good about having to take these, but I feel like I must, because what's the alternative, right?
Right. No. Now, you know, for those in The Hague, it's very clear that the best thing that we can do for ourselves is come and have a consultation with you, give us some recommendations, etc. We set up a routine for ourselves. Now, what about if we, you know, I always ask for a few sort of like freebies. If we're saying, okay, what the core of what you're saying is, yes, we need flexibility and we need cardiovascular, but it's very important at our age, if we want our body, you know, to continue operating as long as possible, to do weightlifting. Right. Now, when you say weightlifting, are we talking about any weight, or is 2 kilos weightlifting?
No, that's what you talked about earlier. Like, if I go into a gym, sometimes I look at women and I realize they're there socially. Okay. But at the same time, I think, what are they doing? I think they're ironing. You know, they're not working at their potential, let's say. Okay. So weight training, I feel, is the singularly most important thing that you could be doing. It's applying a stressor to the body.
Right.
And the hypothesis is, after you've applied the stressor, is that the muscle tissue actually sort of gets little minute tears. It actually breaks down, and then it adapts, it grows, and is ready for the next kind of stress you're going to put on it. And if you do what's called progressive overload, you know, slowly at the right pace and the right amount for you, you know, I could explain what that is. That depends on your reps and how many weights, but that's something you could come to me and find out. And then you see where you should be working at. I have some women that come to me and I'm like, you can push way more weight than you think. You just had no idea. You're strong.
We limit ourselves, right? We think, oh gosh, 5 kilos, oh, 10 kilos.
The great thing about having muscle is that, you know, as you menopause, our metabolism goes down. So we actually need about 200 less calories a day. And I love to eat. I want those. So I'm going to keep my muscle, because muscle burns more calories than fat, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And I mean, these muscles, it can save us. I mean, the other day I had to move my daughter from Amsterdam. She was up these two mega steep flights of stairs. I mean, we're talking about, it was like a ladder. And we had to carry all of this to the car park, which was miles away. And I mean, I was just so grateful for my muscles. I mean, I carried, I don't know how many bags backwards and forwards 7 times. And yeah, I was sweaty, but I wasn't in pain. Yeah. And I don't know how on earth I would have done that otherwise.
That's got to be your morning swimming, Julie. And you, that's the thing too. You know, you're talking a little bit of going up these stairs and carrying packages. That's almost like the high intensity interval training. And that is also something that is very important. I mean, the World Health Organization says you should do at least moderate intensity, at least 150 minutes a week.
Is and that for our age as well, or is it in general?
Oh, for anyone. Anyone should be doing that. And higher intensity is where the fat burns, actually. People don't know that. You know, it sets off this kind of cycle where you're actually burning the fatty acids. So if you can incorporate that into your workout, you know, you're actually going to lose more fat overall.
Right. I mean, we're running out of time here, but one thing that I really liked in your philosophy is make it fun, right? We're not talking about a grueling ordeal that we have to put ourselves through 3 times a week, because of course we're going to give up if it's grueling, but it can be fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. It can be fun, especially if you come to me.
Yes, exactly. And then you incorporate it as part of your way of living. It's, you know, it's a bit like brushing your teeth. I mean, I don't every day feel like brushing my teeth in the evening when I'm about to fall asleep whatsoever. But you do it because you know it's good for you.
It takes more motivation and determination than brushing your teeth, because it's something you've done since, you know, it's a habit that you have to form and you have to incorporate it in your lifestyle. And that's what I really believe. You know,
and it's not too late, right? For those of them out there saying, I've never done it yet. I'm not going to start at 50, 60 or whatever. But there is a level for everyone, right?
There really is. And it's good that you say that, because I know a lot of women, I get the feeling they're giving up. It's like, okay, it's 50, I'm 60. It's my time to relax. Well, yes. But what is relaxation, right? It's not stagnation. No. That's all.
You have to sort of, in order to relax, you have to stress first, right? It has to be something first. Otherwise, what's relaxation? It's a bit like if we were on holiday the whole time. Holiday has no meaning anymore. Holiday has meaning because we work or whatever the rest of the time. There has to be another side, right?
That's right. I love those intense workouts. And then you feel no matter what you
do. I love it too. And yes, I don't always feel like going to the gym, but I do know I'm going to love how I feel when I come home. And the thing is, it doesn't just last 5 minutes. It really sets you up for success. These are the best years of our life for now. So, I mean, let's make them last as long as we can and treat our body as we should. And as we, yeah, we invest in ourselves. Jess, thank you very, very much. For those wanting to find out more about you, you have a website or somewhere they can join you?
Yeah, jhfitnessmatters@gmail.com. You can always contact me there. My website is Fitness Matters.
And for those who aren't in the Hague region, maybe we can start thinking of a way that you can share your words of wisdom. And I, for one, want to have you back so that you can tell me and all the others how to get rid of our bingo wings. Right. On this note, bye for now, Jess. All the best to you all out there. Make it happen. It's just overcoming your own limitations. We can all do this, but get the proper help so that you set up in a way which is good for you. Speak to you again this time next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.